Our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, 14th verse, 14th chapter, beginning with verse 22. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was many furlongs distant from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out with fear. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Have no fear." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "O man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." May God add his blessing to the reading of the scripture.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that reading. Let's think about this story. It was, Jesus is walking on water. It's always been a big story. Everybody likes to talk about it because it's just so amazing that he would be strolling out on the sea. But then we have to look at Peter, because there's the real story. I mean, really, Jesus walking on water, who's surprised? But Peter, being the person who gets the key to the kingdom, you got to wonder. Have you known people who desire something, but they don't have any real commitment? Somebody who wants to get married, but say they have problems with commitment. That'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? Or a couple who desire children, but you know that they have problems dealing with behaviors, their own, let alone those of children. Or maybe it's a child who is always saying, "I want to be an astronaut or an engineer." But they don't like science and math. It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Tell you a little story about Seth. If he were here, he would confirm this. But Seth, for the longest time, said he wanted to be a doctor, especially a surgeon. And he watched nothing but shows about brain surgery, which they show quite graphically. And he loved it. And he said, "I want to be a surgeon." And I said, "Well, you're looking at about 12 years of college." He said, "Maybe I'll be an EMT. there's that desire, but you got to have commitment, right? Oftentimes, children change their minds as to what they want to be several times before they become adults, and there's nothing new about that. But some adults are the same way. Some adults have desires, but they have no commitment. And whatever the case, the words are spoken, the desire expressed, but the commitment is not there. And for some, when no commitment is present, disappointment is. Their lives just don't work out for them because they're always wanting, but they're never committing to getting it done. Our Lord was aware of those who fit this description. You remember the rich young man who came to Jesus? Let's look at Matthew 19. "And behold, one came up to him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? One there is who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All of these I have observed. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for for he had great possessions. The young man knew what was right. He knew what had to be done. He had Jesus giving him guidance, but he lacked the commitment. I want it, I want it, I want it. But you tell them what they have to do, and they get to thinking, as Seth did, no, maybe not. Many of us here today can say, love your neighbor as yourself. But the reality is, we are very picky as to who our neighbor is. We will leave a neighborhood because of the person moving in next door. We will refuse to serve in an area if we don't like our neighbor. We will even condone mistreatment or different treatment of an individual if we do not want to consider them a neighbor. There are those Christians who want nothing to do with the poor, which our Lord states on numerous occasions that we are to help. Luke 6:20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Luke 14:12-14. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. And then Luke 19:8-10. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And where does Jesus get this stuff about being good to the poor, treating them as your neighbor, loving them, being kind to them? Maybe it came from his training as a child. Let's look at Leviticus 25:35. And if your brother becomes poor and cannot maintain himself with you, you shall maintain him as a stranger and a sojourner. He shall live with you. Wow. He shall live with you? Have you had a neighbor that went poor and you invited him into your house and said, come on, you can live with me? It doesn't say this person is of any particular race, social status, as having been rich and then become poor, or give any details other than your brother. That's it. And Jesus was asked, who is my brother? Mark 3:35. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever? Really? Yes, really. Those were hard words for people to hear. Look around. How many of you would invite another to live in your home? Would give them anything? Jesus put down some really tough things for people to do. And they said to him, you're a blasphemer. Not because he got it wrong, but because they lacked commitment. True story in my life. I was speaking with a woman, and this is, I promise you, this happened about, 12 years ago. I was talking to her about her feelings, and she was telling me, because she was a woman of great status, and she was telling me that she does treat people differently, because you should treat people differently, because there are the rich, there are the middle class, there's the poor, and everybody has their status, and everybody needs to be treated according to their status. And I smiled and I said, remember the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I promise you, she said this. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. I said, Jesus said it. And she said, he got it wrong. Commitment. This is a woman who had been going to church for no less than 40 years and loved the Lord and said, I want to be a Christian. She said he got it wrong. You know, that's what the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all the others said too. You got it wrong. Love my neighbor. Some of them aren't worth loving. Jesus said they're all worth loving. A man called up the local armory to get a report on the number and status of the weapons and vehicles. A private answered the phone and said, "We've got 3 Jeeps, 4 tanks, 500 rifles, and a ton of ammo. Oh, we also have 2 Cadillacs for the fat generals." There was silence, and then this response, "Private, do you know who I am?" "No, I'm General Weston." "General, do you know who I am?" "No. See you later, fatty." Sometimes we want to fly under the radar. We don't want God to know who we are, and we think that he doesn't. And we say, okay, I don't have to do what Jesus said because, you know, God doesn't really know me. God does know you. And when we say, I want to be a Christian, I want to do what the Lord wants me to do, and, oh, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself, and Jesus said, help the poor. Yeah, well, he doesn't really know who I am. We can't fly under the radar with God. It's like, I know what you said, and I know what to do, but do you really know who I am? Peter had that same question. Peter, I know what you're telling me, Lord. I know what I need to do, and I try, but I lack commitment. You know why? Because he had doubts. So Jesus says, come. And he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk toward Jesus. But then he gets distracted and he begins to think to himself, this is impossible. It never occurred to him that if it was impossible, how is it he was doing it? For the first 2-3 steps, he was fine. But he thought it was impossible. And if we believe things are impossible with God, then we sink. You may ask yourself, what if I am not completely committed? I want to do what you say, Lord, but it's so hard to let go of my prejudice, my upbringing, my desires for the things of this world. And so I pretend you don't notice me and I won't be held accountable. So let's talk about Peter. Dear Peter, the rock. He sees Jesus walking on water. He heard Jesus say, what I do, you can do and more. So he says to the Lord, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you on the water. Notice he says, if it is you, if it is you. He already had doubts. But then he gets out of the boat and he sees the waves and he sees the wind. And then he really stops believing. In spite of Jesus saying, come. As he does to each and every one of us. Come. You can do it. You can do the things I've asked. It's a great story, isn't it? It's marvelous. It's exciting. Peter steps out on the water. He's doing it. And then he's not. Well, okay, maybe it's not quite so marvelous and exciting. He had doubts. We all have doubts. He questioned what Jesus said. He questioned what Jesus did. He kept a lot of those questions to himself, and then in private he would say something to Jesus. And then Jesus would say, oh, ye of little faith. You know, George Whitefield was an evangelist, and he conducted outdoor evangelistic campaigns in the 1700s throughout the American colonies, a period of revival known as the Great Awakening here in America. Although thousands responded to his gospel message, when asked how many were converted after one of his sermons, he replied, we'll know in 5 years. Of course, the point Whitefield was making was that the passing of time should reveal which decisions were superficial, which were genuine. Who was really going to be committed to the Lord? Here's a comment I hear quite often, especially the last 10 years, I've heard this quite a bit. It's this movement toward trying to get the church to progress. When I go to church, I want to walk away with something I can use in the real world. And I must ask these questions and have. Is not being prejudiced, something you can walk away with so that you don't harbor ill will toward others. Passing on the teachings of our Lord, is that something you can do in everyday life? If not in word, in your actions, with your children, grandchildren, friends, neighbors, aren't those things you can do in the real world? You got to be careful not to shut your soul's door through doubt when God has just opened it by His grace. It's not that complicated, is it? Or is it? Is that why we can't sit and hear about love and compassion and understanding, hope, faith, and commitment, and walk away saying, I want something I can actually use in life? Why couldn't Jesus be more specific? You ever wondered that? Why couldn't He just define things in a 30-second commercial or make it easier to understand? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, that's what we lack in today's world. I saw in the bookstore the other day one of those yellow books with computers for dummies on it. They had a whole series of them, cooking for dummies, rock climbing for dummies, talking to dummies for dummies. And they had the Bible for dummies. When did we become so convinced that deep truths could be boiled down? That has often been our excuse to quit trying, to doubt instead of spending time trying to figure things out for ourselves. Doesn't the whole idea of loving God mean searching first for what love means and second for ways to display that love? We can sit here all day and we can talk and we can say things, but if we're not committed to it, if we're not committed to what we're reading in Scripture, if we're not committed to the words of Jesus, then yes, we walk away saying, gosh, I want something I can use in life. Who can't use love? I've even heard that. I'm so tired of going to church and hearing about love. Well, maybe that's because you're not using it. Maybe that's because it's not being taught and it's not being passed down. When I was at the wedding last night, what I saw was love. What I saw is people feeling that love. I even saw a father who had teared up out of pride and love. It's real and it can be used in everyday life. Everything our Lord taught is actually something you can use. So what is it that we're really looking for? Desire with commitment. Because all too often what we have is the desire to be a Christian, but we have no commitment to being that. If we are committed to God's word, if we truly wish to serve our Lord and be a disciple, then why do we doubt His word and look for shortcuts? When we can see Him in others, we can hear Him speak to our hearts, we just need to step out of our doubts and walk with Him, and Peter should have walked to Him. We're in that water. The question is, are we going to make it to the Lord, or are we going to be hollering, help, help? Where's our commitment to doing, living, and being that which our Lord asked us to be? Let us pray. Loving God, we know that You come to us every day and speak to our hearts and our minds, and we know the right thing to do, and oftentimes we choose not to do it. And oftentimes we have doubts about whether it would even be worth doing. But if it is for You, Lord, we know that it is worthy. Please work on our hearts and our minds to commit them to You so that we may carry through on the ministries that You have set before us. That we may love one another, we may help the poor, that we may even help one another in our own community, in our own congregation, and in our own families. For we ask this in Your Son's name. Amen.